virus has now killed more than 100 people in China, and new cases have been confirmed around the world.
So you don't want to frighten the American public.
France and South Korea have also got evacuation plans.
But you need to prepare for and assume,
strongly warning Americans to avoid all non-essential travel to China,
that this is going to be a real serious problem.
France, Australia, Canada, the US, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, the list goes on.
Health officials are investigating more than 100 possible cases in the US.
Germany, a man has contracted the virus.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
Japan, where a bus driver contracted the virus.
Coronavirus has killed more than 100 people there and infected more than 4,500.
We have to prepare for the worst, always, because if you don't and the worst happens.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man.
That wasn't that long ago. That was only in 2019. Now, back then, we were really worried about Chinese intellectual property theft, forced technology transfer, that sort of thing. But recently, their military buildup and their intentions toward Asia have really come to the fore. What are your concerns, and what do you think their intentions are on that front?
Well, they've made pretty clear, John. I think you have it right. These commercial issues are real and continue. We have a responsibility to get after them. But the security issues that are at the center of the threat to the United States, we took them on in the cyber world with respect to Huawei and telecommunications. Yeah. And now the United States must be prepared to exert whatever resources necessary to make sure that we're prepared for whatever the Chinese military does, whether that's on the seas, in the South China Sea, whether it's the activities they're conducting in space and in satellite with satellites, or whether it's their cyber campaigns, ongoing cyber threats to the United States of America.
On the subject of the Beijing Olympics, the Biden administration has not said whether they should be boycotted or whether they should be moved somewhere else. What are your thoughts? Can a country like China, with its human rights record, host an international event like the Olympics with any credibility?
John, we know the history, and those of us who've worked with our friends in Israel and have worked on anti-Semitism have talked about never allowing what happened in the 1930s to happen again, that the world wouldn't approve of that. Well, what's happening in the 1930s is happening in Western China today. There are eerie similarities between the two. And hosting an Olympic Games, as the Germans were able to do in 1936, gave great credibility to that regime. We ought not permit that to happen. The International Olympic Committee has a responsibility to make sure that hosts for these games deserve it. This regime certainly does not.
He threw back in his face all the statements that Biden had been making and the Democrats have been making about Black Lives Matter, about how democracy doesn't work, about how America is weak, about how America is racist, etc., etc., completely blew them apart. And so the Democrats were forced to sit there while Yang Jiechi read back their words to them and said, who are you to criticize us when your country is the one with the insurrections? You've got Black people who are being killed by police officers, and you can't even get your own country together, and you're going to come and lecture us on our problems? Why, you've told us yourselves, you're the most racist country in the world. We hear it every day from the New York Times. We hear it every day from CNN. These are your greatest media outlets. So if your own media says you're the most racist country in the world, why should we listen to anything from the most racist country in the world? Right? You understand how this works, folks? Do you understand how it works? There isn't one audience internally and then a separate audience externally. They're going to make you eat your words. And that's exactly what they did to Tony Blinken. That's exactly what they did to him.
Okay, that was the great Jack Posobiec of One American News. Jack, that was on his, I guess, his Facebook or his Twitter. That he gave a 1 hour analysis.
Periscope,
a 30-minute analysis, a brilliant analysis of what happened yesterday. And he pointed out it's the Democrats getting blown back by the Chinese. Chinese have blown it right back in their face. Okay, you're in the War Room Friday, the 19th of March, year of our Lord, 2021. Over 42 million downloads in the podcast. We're up everywhere. We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to bring Sean Parnell in a second. But Joe Biden today, very difficult day. The White House making excuse of the wind blew him down, but very, very, and you got to almost, there's a serious problem there, Raheem Kassam.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's all sorts of ways to laugh about this, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it's funny. It's not funny at all.
Yeah, like the wind thing, you know, ridiculous, quite frankly. There was and people have checked it, by the way. There was a, what the Weather Service calls a mild breeze this morning. So let's part with all the funnies on this for a moment, and let's talk about what's really happening here. It was a perfect example. What happens was a perfect, perfect metaphor for what's gone on over the last 6 weeks. It's America on her knees, right? You look at every different major thing that we're looking at right now in the United States, this regime has brought the country to its knees, on the border, to its knees. Trillions of dollars, trillions upon trillions of dollars of debt heaped on the next generation, on its knees. At the Anchorage summit with China, on its knees. And you just look over and over and over again, and it's the perfect metaphor. You know, Joe Biden, we have known for some time, we've said it on this show how many times now, that he's not running the government. The media reports, CNN themselves have said, you know, he wanders around and he stops into people's offices, checks in on them, sees how they're doing. He likes to make fires and then he goes to bed with a bowl of ice cream. That's their reporting, right? But we have a very serious situation. And by the way, I don't think Kamala Harris is in charge. I don't think Kamala Harris is pulling the puppet strings here. And that's what's really disturbing. Who is? Who's managing the day-to-day business of government? And where are we going to be in another 6 weeks' time?
We're honored to be sponsored by MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell and the Great Patriots. Go to MyPillow.com today. Please go there. Support the show. Support the MyPillow company. Support Mike Lindell. You got to put in the promo code WARROOM. You've got 120 different items there that you can look at. MyPillow.com. Promo code WARROOM. Okay, I want to bring in now Sean Parnell, a Army captain, former infantry officer, had led the company that spent, I think, the longest patrol deployment into Afghanistan during the ongoing war there. Two Bronze Stars, one for Valor. Awarded two Bronze Stars, one for Valor, Purple Heart. Sean, number one, where this situation is, as you're an officer in the field with young men and women in the United States military, with a commander in chief like this, what is your first assessment, sir?
Yeah, Steve, it's concerning. You know, one of the things that I learned in Afghanistan real quickly is that your soldiers, your people need to know that you take the responsibility of leadership so seriously that you are willing to lay down your life for your troops at a moment's notice. And so if you're surrounded, you're outmanned, you're outgunned, and you're trapped in a kill zone, your troops need to know you're going to be the first one out of the truck, the first one into the fire, leading the charge, and doing everything that you can to bring them home and bring them home alive. Unfortunately, with what we're seeing with Joe Biden, he's the commander-in-chief of the United States military. He doesn't inspire that level of confidence in the troops. That much is for sure. As you saw today, struggled up the steps to get onto Air Force One. He stumbled and he fell. I got to tell you, that doesn't make me laugh. That makes me sad, you know. And he hasn't had a press conference in, 55 days? He's protected. He can barely string together a sentence. And look, this isn't me throwing political jabs here, okay? And I think to Raheem's point, that's why people are sort of wondering who's running the show. So not only does he not inspire confidence, he's almost abdicated his role. He's invisible as the commander in chief, and it makes people wonder who the heck's running the show.
Sean, I want to go. That's from the micro, from being an officer in the field. By the way, Sean's also a New York Times bestselling author. We're going to get a copy of the latest book up there in a second. But Sean, I want to pull the camera back to the geopolitics of it. I don't think ever in American history, maybe the War of 1812, when the British, we were fighting the British for, 30 years. I don't think the United States has been lectured by an existential threat like we were lectured in Anchorage and in Alaska. And I have said that Joe Biden should have called Blinken and called Jake Sullivan, get on the plane, come back. I'm not going to tolerate this. He should have pulled him back immediately, sending a terrible signal going to day two of this. But I want to know your geopolitical assessment. When you have the existential threat of what Dr. Stephen Mosher calls the biggest killing machine ever created on Earth, the Chinese Communist Party killed 90 million of its own people, 400 million abortions. What's the geopolitics of this, sir?
Wow, he hits the nail on the head. The CCP is the greatest geopolitical and military threat that I think the United States has ever faced. And I think you could make an argument that it exceeds that of Germany or Japan in World War II. In a decade, it looks like if America doesn't get their stuff together, it looks like the Chinese economy could eclipse ours. Their military is larger than ours. We're losing dominance in the Pacific. China has a larger navy than ours. China is singularly focused on deposing America as the lone world superpower. And what we saw in Alaska, boy, I got to tell you, I think Joe Biden and specifically the Democrats have underestimated and appeased the CCP for over a decade now. And you're seeing that like in the most extreme forms of very prominent members of the Democratic Party hiring Chinese spies to be their drivers. Eric Swalwell was literally in bed with a Chinese spy in a years long relationship. And what we're seeing right now playing out on the world stage are the consequences of that very reckless and dangerous behavior. And so we got to get our stuff together quick, because you know China will indeed eat our lunch if we don't.
Real quickly, got about 2 minutes, Sean. I want to make sure people understand, because they go, well, it's China, it's geopolitics, it's over there. Why do I care about this? Talk about like Pennsylvania. What kind of impact can this have on the American people? The unexpected rise of China, right? When they're stealing our technology, they're using our capital. What happens to working class people in a state like the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania?
Well, China manipulates their currency and they flood the market with cheap foreign steel. And what that does in a very real sense here on the ground in Pennsylvania is put steel manufacturing and all of the business that are connected to the steel manufacturing industry out of business, right? So, you know, most of the business owners here in Western Pennsylvania, and I talk to them every single day, you know, they supported the Trump tariffs, even though it hurt their bottom line in the short term. They knew that the Band-Aid had to be ripped off eventually, that we had to confront the CCP, and that they're playing, these companies here in Pennsylvania are playing the long game, knowing that these tariffs will help get things in order for their bottom line in the future. So a strong CCP puts the American people, it's bad for the American people, and it puts blue collar union workers out of business.
Sean, how do people get access to you? And let's get the book up. How do they get access to the book? How do they get access to you during the day?
Well, you can find me at Sean Parnell USA on Twitter and on Parler. I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well. And my website is officialseanparnell.com. And, you know, get at me any one of those ways and I'll get right back with you.
Sean Parnell, an American hero, American patriot. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Steve.
I want to go back to force feeding the Democrats what they've been saying. That's what the Chinese, listen, this, the reason why they're an existential threat, not just the scale of it, the lethality of it, but the way they roll. These are, you know, Bill Maher started off the other day, finally paying attention to what we've been saying here in the war room. He started with the great scene from Lawrence of Arabia, where Lawrence is sitting there talking to the Arabs and saying, you're a silly people because you focus on marginalia. You focus on non-essential things, and that's why you're divided, and that's why the Turks rule you, and that's why the Germans are going to crush you, right? They force-fed the Democrats the exact thing they've been doing to run this country down, Mr. Rahim Kassam.
Look at what the press has been focused on today. Not on the summit, not on the clear, disturbing lack of capability of the commander-in-chief to walk up a flight of steps, and then not to turn around and say, hey, yeah, all right, look, I tripped, but to say, oh, the wind knocked me over, right? But they're focused on this Atlanta situation. Now, of course, the murder of 8 people is a very serious and distressing thing.
Heinous.
But the spin of, oh, this is a racist attack, and Biden's going down there to say, hey, it's a racist attack. When the FBI director, Christopher Wray, comes out yesterday and says, there's no evidence to say and suggest that there is any racial motivation behind this thing. We're living in bizarro world right now.
Tomorrow at 11, we're going to have, once again, a special in the war room, the persecution of the Chinese people by the Chinese Communist Party at home and abroad. We're going to have Chinese voices tell you who persecutes them tomorrow in the war room. Okay, we're going to go to the border next, start in Panama, work our way up to Arizona. next in the War Room. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the
CCP. They have all- War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, this show is about human agency and human action. That's what we've set it up to make sure that you have the information you need to have a mental map that then you can kind of plan out and think through what the correct actions in your life and what your correct actions are as you support certain political movements and causes. That's what we're here for. The one thing I can tell you is doing this for a year just on the pandemic is that whether you think it's a bioweapon from the CCP lab in Wuhan or you think it's a total and complete hoax, it is in your hands to do the basics. And the basics are you've got to boost your immune system. Go to warroomdefense.com today. We've got both zinc and vitamin D3 for free. You got to pay shipping and handling. But we've got the beginnings of an immune booster system program. Just go to warroomdefense.com. Get the War Room Defense Pack. But go there today and check it out. Okay, Raheem Kassam, we're going to go to the border next, start in Panama. But I got to – this thing's so serious. And ladies and gentlemen, this is – some of the memes have been out there. It's not funny. This is as serious as it gets. Something's got to, you know, this has to be reviewed. People need answers. You have not just troops in the field in Afghanistan and other places in Syria, in Iraq. You've got men and women on ships in the South China Sea. Plus, we have this summit where they're ripping our faces off in Alaska. Okay, the United States is on its back foot to the great existential threat of its time. And we have a commander in chief. Remember, here's the tell. CNN did not have this up for 2 hours afterwards. They did not want to put it up. The Hill didn't really put it up on the homepage. I think they tweeted it. The basically establishment media did not want to cover this. They were kind of forced to cover it. When the Daily Mail put it up right away, bang, problem. And then the Daily Mail mocked the response. And they said, oh, the wind knocked him down. It was a windy day, right? That's just another spin. Raheem Kassam.
Well, look, when President Trump had his leather-bottom shoes on, and didn't want to slip down the ramp.
Yep. What's the point?
You know, some of the left mocked him, but actually what the effective part of the left did from a political perspective and a messaging perspective was treat it as serious as hell, right?
Yep.
To go out there and say, hey, we got a problem here. Hey, we need to talk about this. Hey, this guy's not well. Hey, over and over and over again. And if you think for a minute, look, you might be sitting at home and you're laughing at this, right? And you see the video of the golf ball and it hits him in the... Look. You want to win? Hold the left to its own standards. And its own standards are, at the very slightest thing, you take it deadly seriously. Deadly seriously. They taught us that, so let's hold them to it. We take this deadly seriously. He's clearly not well. He's clearly not able to climb those stairs. He's clearly not in the shape that he thinks he's in. And people are forcing him out there every day, acting as if he's in charge. This is a republic. This is the greatest republic mankind has ever known, and you cannot have a commander-in-chief falling up the staircase, claiming he got knocked down by the wind, and we just go, ah, silly, stupid. No,
yeah.
It's disturbing.
And this is what, listen, particularly the decision you have to make as commander-in-chief, but look at what's happening in the border. The borders, they've made it a complicated problem now, a complicated crisis because of their actions. President Trump had this, it was not perfect, but it was put to bed for a while as we thought through other remedies, particularly in the home country of Central America. Speaking of that, let's go to Michael Yon, one of America's best combat correspondents. Been in Afghanistan and Iraq for years. He's now down in Panama on the other side of the Darien Gap. Michael, give us a report, your osmotic flow. Give folks a heads up in our audience of what to expect, what's coming north.
Hey, Steve. I'm right behind me over my shoulder. You can see that's the Pan Am Highway. That's the main artery coming up. You know, the Highway 1, it ends at a town called Yavita down in Panama. It's in at the end of that highway, there's just jungle for 60 miles that goes off down into Colombia. So I was just down in Colombia with Chuck Holton and Masako Ganaha. We went to the other side of the Darien Gap. They call it the Gap because there is no highway there. And so that's where the people from all over the world who funnel through South America, they come from the, you know, Himalayas to the headwaters of the Nile, down in Congo, Sierra Leone, and all over South America, and they go through Colombia, where drug mules actually pack in with them. Cocaine now is being grown in epic proportion in Colombia. As you know, Colombia has become like the Afghanistan of South America now, whereas Afghanistan is, of course, opium down in Colombia, it's cocaine. And so you've got huge numbers of migrants coming through. And what they do is after they make it through the Darien, they get picked up by Panamanian frontier police, who used to hold them for months, but now they're holding them for a few days. They ship them straight to Costa Rica. Costa Rica ships them to Nicaragua. Then they go up to Honduras. Of course, they keep going north. Then they end up in Mexico, and they end up in El Paso, where we also were just in El Paso seeing larger numbers. So you see right behind me, this is the Pan Am Highway. This is the artery that's coming to El Paso and Arizona, New Mexico, and of course, California. This is it. Many have illnesses. They're disinfecting them in Colombia. I've made video as they get off the boat in Colombia down near Copangana, which is at the head at the edge of the Darien Gap. As the migrants get off the boat, they're spraying them. They've got backpack sprayers, and they actually spray them down because the people are so afraid of the infections that they might be bringing.
Michael, let me ask you a question. How dangerous is it for these folks that are coming across the Darien, not just the natural perils they face? How dangerous is it when they come up out the Darien Gap into Panama and the cartels start picking them up? How dangerous is it for the women and children specifically when these cartels really take over and start leading these folks north?
Oh, it's very dangerous. Many die out in the jungle. We talked with authorities yesterday and the day before. They go out and they will collect the bodies of children. They leave the bodies of adults just in the jungle. I'm talking about Panamanian authorities. When children come in, for instance, Panamanian authorities told us day before yesterday that they just took a child off of parents from Sierra Leone because the parents were abusing the child. So the Panamanian authorities took that child. So there's a lot of children that come through the Darien Gap without parents because their parents died out there. And so the people that are nice enough to bring the children in, they end up in Panama homeless and stateless.
Michael, right now, why do you think that this big surge, why are all these people heading north right now? When you talk to them or you talk to the authorities, what is the word you're getting for why we're getting this, what you call osmotic flow of people up? Why is it happening now?
Yeah, the human osmotic pressure. I call it the HOP, the human osmotic pressure. I see this all over the world. For instance, my office is in Thailand. Same thing happens from Burma. But here in the United States, where I'm in Panama at the moment, but when Biden came out and rolled out the red carpet, it's all over CNN down here. You can see it every night on television. CNN is telling them how to get up to America. They're showing them right on CNN here in Panama where the holes are in the fence. They're showing them which roads to take, which states will accept you, like California. They're showing them exactly. It's a how-to program. It's an infomercial. It's CNN infomercial on how to get from whatever country you're in the world up to some place in the United States. It's terrible. I mean, the children,
Michael,
are out there dying in the Darien Gap.
Michael, let me ask, just say that for us again. Have we seen that footage from CNN down there? Because I remember exactly what you're talking about in Europe in 2015. The BBC was putting maps together that were then being handed out to migrants as they entered Europe, and it taught them how to get to different countries via which routes. Do you have that footage, Michael?
Oh, we can shoot. I shot some the other night, but I'll shoot some for you again tonight because they do it practically every night. And I'll just send it to you tonight. So we'll turn on CNN tonight and send it to you.
That's huge.
Michael, we got to jump, but we're going to get you back on the show tomorrow morning. We're going to cover this nonstop. You guys are very courageous. Masako and Chuck Colton down there with you, part of the team that's in Panama right now. Michael Yon, thank you very much for joining us. We'll make sure that everybody has your coordinates so they can get to your site and watch you nonstop. Let's put that in the live chat. Now I want to go to – I would be normally going to El Paso, Texas for our next guest, Dave Rodriguez, six-time heavyweight boxing champion and a colleague, someone that really helped us down there with We Build the Wall to put on all the conferences, a really great patriot and an American hero. But Dave, you're not in El Paso. You're not in your beloved hometown. And I know what that means to you because you had a great fondness and love for El Paso. Why are we talking to you, Dave Rodriguez? I think you're in Phoenix, Arizona. Why are you in Phoenix and not in your hometown of El Paso, sir?
I'm moving. I've had enough. You know, I'm just done with it. I've been there my whole life. I love El Paso, but it's just gotten chaotic, especially with the mask mandates. The governor signed a lift on the mask mandates. and to allow businesses 100% capacity in Texas, and nobody's observing it in El Paso. It's just complete mind control. It's like a zombie land. I don't know how to explain it. You know, I just don't fit in there. And the influx of immigrants that are coming, I have friends that are in Border Patrol, and they told me just this month alone, or February and March, is more than the entire year of 2020. It's just ridiculous. And then you have
hold on, hang on for a second. We've got a minute left in this segment. I want to go back to that because I know how close you are to Border Patrol. That's one of the ways we met you when we built the wall down there that the Border Patrol wanted on the side of the mountain in El Paso, on the New Mexico side. What did the Border Patrol, just repeat that, what did your Border Patrol friends tell you?
They have more coming in February and March than the entire year of 2020. It's ridiculous. And when you're in El Paso, people just, it's just like lackadaisical. They're just letting these people in, and people are just accepting them, and it's no big deal. You know, I can't have a stimulating conversation with anybody there anymore. You know, everyone mask shames you. They're for the illegal immigration. It's insanity. It's like a mental disease that is spread that I can't take it anymore. So I'm leaving. I don't fit in there anymore. I don't want to be there anymore. I'm out. Best way to put it.
David, hang on for a second. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return with six-time heavyweight champ David Rodriguez, a real hero, a great fighter, and a real patriot. We're going to take a short commercial break. Raheem Kassam, Stephen K. Bannon, you're in the War Room. We will be back going to Phoenix, Arizona. Also have Drew Hernandez, both next. When we return in the War Room. Everything's begun, and you are over. We're taking down the CCP. Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP. War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, we want to thank the entire team at MyPillow.com, the MyPillow team, the great manufacturing team there, what, 2,500 employees. And, of course, Mike Lindell, the great patriot fighting for everything about free and fair elections. We have an arrangement now with them to make sure that we're one of the outlets that sells their material. Go to MyPillow.com, type in into the promo code WARROOM. They got 120 products. You got everything. You get up to 66% discounts on some items, but you get discounts across the board. So make sure you go there today. Support Mike Lindell. Support MyPillow. Support War Room. Do it all. We're going to try to get Melissa Hooray from the Lindell Recovery Network, which is a Christ-based, God-based network to help addicts change their lives like Mike Lindell did. Raheem, another massive story on the National Pulse. Tell us what it is, and then my head's blown up. Why does it take the National Pulse to break this story?
Yeah, just breaking right now, we have looked into Peter Daszak's political donations. Now, Peter Daszak, people will remember, is the World Health Organization researcher who is tasked with identifying the origins of the CCP virus. He's the one that said, we're not going to be looking at the lab, we don't need to be looking at the lab, and it's Stephen K. Bannon's fault that China is not being more forthright with information. Well, we looked into Peter Daszak's donations, political donations history, and it turns out he's donated to Joe Biden over 70 times.
He's also the one that Dr. Fauci funneled money to for the gain-of-function experiments, right?
Oh, big time.
Right now, it's an open question. The intelligence community say it was the gain-of-function. Mike Pompeo said it was the gain-of-function experiments in the Wuhan P4 lab that led to the CCP virus. We're going to get into all that more tomorrow. We're going to have a whole hour on the persecution yesterday.
So just to put it in perspective, it's the World Health Organization that Joe Biden just took America back into.
$200-some million.
Right. That Joe Biden is hand in hand with Tony Fauci and Francis Collins and all these other guys. The supposed independent investigator of all of that and all of how the virus came out.
Who lives off U.S. taxpayer dollars, your taxpayer dollars.
Takes money from the Chinese Communist Party, from the U.S. government, and donates that money straight back to Joseph Robinette Biden.
It's a pretty good system. Remember, there are no conspiracies, but, ladies and gentlemen, there are no coincidences. Okay, I want to go now back to the border, back to Phoenix, Arizona, and David Rodriguez, a renowned fighter. David, tell us if you had, we're crammed for time. We want to get you on here at a time when we get more time to spend with you. But you're a man that's very forthright and straightforward. If you were sitting with Joe Biden today and you had a few minutes to talk about the border and the crisis down there, what would be the two or three things you would tell Biden must be done immediately to stop this crisis from exploding even more?
Let me just make a really critical point here as well. The people in Juarez, and I know many of them, first and foremost, they do not like all these immigrants coming to the Ciudad Juarez, okay? They are against it as well. They don't like the influx of immigration either. So it's not just Americans. It's also people from Juarez that don't like all these people coming up and taking over their city. So that's the first and foremost. That's also another point I wanted to make. If I was sitting with Joe Biden and I had to talk to that guy, God help me, I think it would be, number one, finish the wall. You got to finish the wall, because it did at least put a hindrance on the influx of immigration coming. Finish the wall. Number two, enhance manpower at the border. Give the proper funding to ICE, the Border Patrol, and catch and release. And keep the deal that Trump made with Mexico, where they were helping stabilize the situation. So that, you know, but we already, you know, you know as well, Steve, I'm preaching to the choir here. Biden, he's a globalist. He's here to destroy and ruin America, and that's it. That's his role. So he cares not what happens at the border. This is all engineered. So to me, hey, I mean, it's a, you know, it'd be like talking to a wall. The guy's not even coherent. I think what they're doing right now is complete elder abuse. The guy's delusional. He's senile. And that's just the way I look at it. And he's put there as like a Manchurian candidate, and he's just doing what the CCP and the globalists want.
David Rodriguez, how can people follow you on social media? How do they follow a website? Tell people how they follow you during the day. What's your coordinates?
My Instagram is a big one. My Instagram is David Nino Rodriguez Official. It's kind of long. David Nino Rodriguez Official. My Telegram is Nino's Corner. My Twitter is Nino Boxer. And you can visit my own channel at ninoscorner.tv. ninoscorner.tv.
Okay, we will put that up into the live chat. David Rodriguez, thank you very much for joining us today in the War Room.
You got it, Steve. Thank you. My pleasure.
I want to now go back to Phoenix, Arizona. Drew Hernandez, an investigative reporter, one of the top guys in the country, put himself in danger. Drew, you've got breaking news for us from the border. What do you got, sir?
Number one, I think this past week has been pretty interesting because a lot of developments have taken place. NBC, of all people, has reported that Border Patrol agents are reporting that they're under unofficial gag orders. They're being told not to communicate with media and to share data or information with journalists or reporters. So it's interesting, and also to refrain from booking any ride-alongs with some media, specifically down in Texas, which I find pretty interesting because if you think about it, the Biden administration definitely does not want the data coming out or the optics coming out, because that is what's going to correspond with reality. Those two things are going to confirm what's really taking place at this border. And it's interesting that these Democrats claim that they care, but they obviously don't, because they don't want the optics, which is political purposes, right? And they don't want the data, because that confirms the truth. And I think it's interesting, because Jen Psaki herself...
Hang on one second, Drew. You're one of the smartest guys about this. What do you think is really happening down the border? What's the reality down there?
I think your last guess was absolutely correct. This is a globalist problem. This is how globalists function. I think they want to move millions of people. They don't want sovereignty in the United States of America. They want to move millions of people into the United States to change the geographics, to take away borders. They want open borders. They want chaos. They want instability. They want to destabilize the United States of America so they can push everybody in a position where they are completely dependent on the state. They want to destroy the economy. They want to destroy our borders. They want to destroy everything that appears to be independent or sovereign about the United States of America. And illegal immigration and open borders is definitely a key strategy of what globalists do worldwide. I think that is literally where this all ends, if I'm just completely honest with you. I think this is what this administration has tapped into.
Drew, you're one of the best source people among Border Patrol, ICE agent, but particularly down there on the border, Border Patrol. What are they telling you the current situation is?
So back to Psaki. I'm going to tie this together for you guys, so stay with me. Psaki was asked about these reporters being unofficially gagged. The Border Patrol being unofficially on gag order. She was asked if this was real, and one of her responses, which really stuck out to me because it correlated with what Border Patrol is telling me and my sources actually on the ground, Jen Psaki responded and she said, "We're doing everything we can to the point of attempting to identify phone numbers in the pockets of migrant children so we can call them and get them connected to their families here in the U.S." Now, when I heard that, it was alarming because she said it as if it was some kind of good thing. Here's some nuance. Here's some insight. Border Patrol has been briefing me that this is what cartels do. They will put little pieces of paper in the pockets of migrant children or in the pockets of migrants, women, males, doesn't matter. The cartels are in the United States as well. So they'll put these phone numbers in their pockets. So when they get caught and they get released into the United States, the Americans will call these numbers thinking that they're actually families, when in reality, there's organized crime in the United States of cartels, and they get ushered right into the hands of these cartels. And in reality, they're really not families. And this even goes further. I believe it was New York Times reported that they interviewed a mother migrant at the border, and she claimed she paid up to $9,000 to human smugglers to get her into the United States. How this works, Steve, is they don't have $9,000. How do they pay for this? Do you think they just pull $9,000 out of their pocket and give it to the cartel on the spot? Absolutely not. What these cartels do is they function on the other side of the border and in our state, in our United States side of the border. And what they do is they'll set up bank accounts, routing numbers, checking account numbers. So they'll charge these people in Mexico. And then when they put the numbers in their pockets and they call them, they get put into cartel systems, businesses. Think of anything where a Mexican that doesn't speak English could work out. Construction, pool businesses, you name it, right? Some cartels control these things. So they put them in debt. When they come into the United States, they don't pay them minimum wage. They pay them peanuts. And these people are actually enslaved, possibly paying thousands of dollars of what they were charged on the other side of the border, paying it off for the rest of their life here in the United States, making peanuts. This is literally human slavery, And the Biden administration won't even call it a crisis, Steve. It's ridiculous.
This is like 2015. Raheem, you nailed it. Drew, how do people get access to you? One of the top investigative reporters down there. How do people get access to you?
Yeah, you guys could support me on Gab. I'm the only verified Drew Hernandez Lives Matter official. You guys can support me. The links are in the bio and my Twitter, Drew H Live. That's Twitter, Drew H Live. That's how you guys can find me and support me, and I appreciate it.
Great reporting, sir. Thank you very much. Now, I tell you, Raheem, you nailed it. This is the same thing that happened in 2015. Almost to a T.
Yep.
Almost to a T. Same globalist mentality, the same issues coming up, the same enslavement of people, right, by the guys running those trains, right? That people get into this human slavery. This is a disgrace. This is a disgrace what we're allowing to happen to people.
They're not, you know, living in nice homes and working as doctors or engineers or anything like that. I mean, the people who migrated into Europe 6 years ago now are still living some of the least dignified lives, from a human dignity perspective, some of the least dignified lives, working for less than minimum wage in a lot of instances. What are we doing to these people?
I want to go now to Michael Walsh, columnist over at the Epoch Times and also the New York Post, author of one of our favorite books, Last Stands, big hit over Christmas. Make sure you get it. Why men fight when all is lost. Michael, I want to start with talk about Joe Biden. You've covered politics a long time. How serious is this situation with Joe Biden as our commander-in-chief, sir?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I wrote at the Epoch Times that the Biden administration is coming to its end. The presidency of Joe Biden, the sham presidency of Joe Biden, is coming to an end. What we saw today, going up the steps, tripping not once, not twice, but three times, practically face-planting in a very serious way, I think tells you that this is not a man who is capable of discharging even the slightest fragment of the duties of the president of the United States. So we have a major, major problem here. The campaign was conducted under fraudulent circumstances, never mind whether the actual election was fraudulent, but the fact that the Democrats hid him in a basement to try to pretend he was hiding out from COVID as a patriotic American when he's barely functional is really a disgrace, Steve. And we have to say something about it, do something about it. As you know, they've set this up to be the Kamala Kamala Harris presidency from the beginning, I think it's just coming a lot faster than they expected or that we expected.
We got about 45 seconds. You're at the Epoch Times. You were columnist over there at the Post, but I want to ask you about what happened with the Chinese. They sense this, don't they? They would have never been that arrogant if they thought they had a real commander-in-chief in place.
Well, look what they did today in Alaska. I mean, they come into our house, our country, and insult us. It would be like walking into someone's house and peeing on the rug and saying, gee, that really improved the rug, like in the Big Lebowski. The Chinese only do this if they think they can get away with it. That was a deliberate, calculated insult to the American people. And if a proper Washington administration would have recalled those guys, put them on the next plane, escorted the Chinese out of the country. But of course, they didn't do that.
You agree with me that Joe Biden should have called Blinken and Jake Sullivan, had him return to Washington immediately. You agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't take this, not in your own country, Steve. What kind of country are we running here? Well, we know, unfortunately.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. Back with Michael Walsh and Melissa Hooray next in the War Room.
War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, now that the National Pulse has broken the story that Dasik's given Biden 71 times donations. Remember, Dasik, Fauci gave your tax dollars to Dasik for the gain-of-function experiments he helped fund in the Chinese Communist Party's lab in Wuhan. One thing we know, whether you think it's a biological weapons program or a hoax, it's incumbent upon you. The work on oneself is incumbent upon you, nobody else, to boost your immune system. Go to warroomdefense.com today to get the War Room Defense Pack. We've got 1 million bottles of zinc and vitamin D3, one of the best companies in the world we're working with. Make sure you go there. You make a decision whether you want to get the pack or not, but we've got the free vitamins you can get, pay shipping and handling. So National Pulse broke the story, but it's incumbent upon you to get your boost your immune system. I want to thank you.
Here's the tell.
Yep.
Dasik has never tried to sue us for our reporting. He only blocked me on Twitter instead.
And just whine about it.
And where's my Vindman suit?
And said, Vindman's not going to sue you. What's the soccer term he used? What is?
Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
Exactly. Vindman, write that down. Especially an army officer, Vindman. By the way, the summit of Make America Free Again on Cloud Hub, 5 o'clock is the tailgate party on Sunday. Go to Cloud Hub. You got the Free America Summit, Make America Free Again Summit. Tons of great people. It's going to go up to 10 o'clock at night. You got a tailgate party at 10, a virtual tailgate party. And then you got a virtual summit, Make America Free Again. Go to Clout Hub. You'll find all the information there. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., we've got a special on the notorious MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, her policies and politics. An entire hour to go through and see how serious this woman is. And then at 11 o'clock, the Chinese Communist Party's persecution of the Chinese people, both home and abroad. We're going to have the voices of the Chinese people to tell you what the Chinese Communist Party does to them, both on mainland China and throughout the world. So don't make sure you don't miss that. Okay, I want to go to Michael Walsh. We got to be quick about this. He's the author of a book you got to get, particularly for you young men in your family, Last Stands, Why Men Fight When All Is Lost. Victor Davis Hanson's on the cover with a great shout-out talking about masculinity and not the toxic type, the heroic type. Michael, real quick, we've had a number of reports from Panama, from El Paso, from Phoenix. This crisis on the border with an impaired presidency. How bad is this crisis going to get, Mr. Michael Walsh?
Well, all these crises are related, Steve. When you have a weak chief executive, when you have effectively a puppet, the left with its very tiny majority in Congress right now, no seats in the Senate, a couple in the House, but when they get the power, they go at it as if they had the biggest mandate from a landslide of all time. So as Biden fades, you're going to see more of these attacks on the country. The Chinese come into our house and insult us to our face. There's a huge rush at the border, and the administration's talking out of both sides of his mouth, and you know what they want. They want to bring in more Democrat voters. Things will get a lot worse before they get better, Steve, and people really need to wake up, because we have been had in the worst possible way. We are in the late stages of the Roman Republic right now, unless the men, as I say in Last Stands, step up and deal with this.
Wow. Last Stands. How do people get to you? How do they get the book, Michael?
Well, they can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and everywhere good books are sold. Me, I'm on Facebook. Look for the book cover. There's many Michael Walsh's, but there's only one that wrote Last Stands, and that would be me. You see it right behind me here in my library.
Michael, thank you very much for joining us. The book is fabulous. Get it, particularly if you have young men. They have to read this book. Okay, thank you. Now I want to turn to another patriot, Melissa Hooray. We finally got some technical issues worked out with her. You've got a great story up we're going to put up. It's about the Minneapolis Star Tribune and Tribune ripped on an American patriot, Mike Lindell. You guys spent tons of time with him. But you're coming back with a piece called True Grit. Melissa, what do you mean by this? And didn't the Minneapolis Star and Tribune get it right in saying that, you know, Lindell's crazy, he's unreliable, he has no responsibility, no accountability? Wasn't their story correct?
Well, no, it was far from correct. And Steve, it's so awesome to be back with you in the war room after my technical stuff is sorted out. But, you know, my dad lost his battle to alcoholism in 2002. He was a huge John Wayne fan, and he loved that movie True Grit. I think that was one of his favorites. And when I think of the word grit, I think of Mike Lindell. I mean, grit means courage and strength and determination. And when that article you're talking about from the Star Tribune came out, I really didn't see much written about grit or a supernatural kingdom calling and Mike wanting people to find freedom in Jesus, which is his main calling. It really shouldn't surprise me, though, because people who operate in the world system without awareness of the supernatural realm, they're just never going to understand the way that Mike Lindell operates. So even going way back before I worked for Mike, I remember reading articles in different news outlets, and they talk about, like, oh, he says he hears from God and he prays about things and has wisdom and discernment, you know, kind of like, isn't that endearing? He prays for things and expects God to answer. That's really where people get it twisted. It's not supposed to be a one-way relationship with God. Human beings weren't designed that way. Quite the opposite. God wants to be in a constant relationship with us, communicating with us and guiding our lives. And Mike gets this, and that is why he does what he does. And most of the world is never going to understand that. So I submitted an opinion piece to the Star Tribune, and not surprisingly, they didn't respond. I didn't hear anything back from them. So I appreciate you putting it up in your newsroom. And I do have a couple updates about the Lindell Recovery Network. It's going full speed ahead, Steve. This is so exciting. We've got the hope matching feature enabled now, so people can go on and put in their age and their addiction and get specified hope matches. That's really what Mike wanted, because when he was still struggling with his addiction, his friend came to him and said, hey, Mike, I quit. And he's like, how did you do it? He just drilled him with questions. He wanted to know. People need that hope. They need to see that other people have been set free. And that's what we're doing with the site. And the other really exciting thing is that we're launching a podcast. And Steve, I just want to thank you for your favor and putting me on here and giving me a shot a few times, because our friend and patriot warrior, Paul Lavelle of Operation Restored Warrior, said, hey, Melissa, you need to do a podcast for LRN. So I'm teaming up with a guy named Jason Perry. He's an amazing patriot, wow. Ex-Navy SEAL, Boston PD, ex-Boston PD. And we're going to have this podcast. So thank you for that. Wow. And yeah, it's really flying, and nothing's going to stop it.
We're going to help you launch the podcast when you're ready. Real quickly, how do people get to you? How do people get to the Lindell Recovery Network?
Please email me, support@lindellrecoverynetwork.org. People always want to know how to help Mike, how to come alongside us. Also, we're on social media, Facebook, Lindell Recovery Network, Twitter, and Instagram at Lindell Recovery. And check out our site, lindellrecoverynetwork.org. 500 powerful videos off the Operation Restored Warrior course. Lots of good, powerful content there.
Melissa, you're a hero. Keep grinding. True Grit. Melissa, hooray. Okay,
thanks, Raheem. Steve.
This thing with Biden, and for our audience, this is serious. I mean, this guy's the commander in chief, right? We've got the Chinese Communist Party, these hammers over there in Alaska insulting us, as Mike Walsh says. Raheem, how bad is it?
It's dreadful.
Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., the notorious MTG. Then we go to the CCP all tomorrow morning, start at 10 in the war room.